This is something that Holy Spirit really wanted to talk about. He started it. There was a lesson yesterday, and it was all about living prophetically. But this is, I think this is going to not just point to that, but it's also going to point to this idea that he's given, that he's said to me, that see it as a fairy tale. Okay, so when we have opposition, whether, you know, whether it's from we're trying to get a healing and we're not seeing anybody healed, or we're not seeing ourselves healed, or whether it's financial issues, or whether it's a spiritual attack in a ministry, regardless of what it is, he's saying to look at it like a fairy tale. And then you've got to look at the components of a fairy tale. Okay, so a fairy tale has obviously a heroine, somebody who is the person that is going to be saved. They usually are the pure of heart, like say in Snow White. Then you've got the villain or the enemy or the devil, but usually in the form of a wicked witch of some sort. And then you've got the hero, the person or the savior, someone who's going to save the one who's been harmed or attacked. Okay. Now, and what he was telling me is, don't look at spiritual attack in a way where it overwhelms you, or in a way where this is, you know, the enemy is the big one and I'm the little guy down here. It's not like that at all. We look at it as a fairy tale because, one thing, we know who wins. We know who's left standing is Jesus Christ, and we're in him. And we also know that the enemy is defeated. So we need to see that what the enemy does is try to pretend like he hasn't lost yet. And that's why he gets headway in our lives. To make us agree with him that he still is in control. And he's not. He's totally defeated. And then there were some scriptures that God showed me yesterday with in regards to what he will do for us. And it says this, there's one in, it's 1 Corinthians 1, how we get duped into believing that the enemy is really the one in control and the one with all the power. Okay, and that is the big fat lie. Okay, and the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to get conned into that lie. Okay, because then we're at a disadvantage and we're believing a myth, we're believing a fairy tale. He wants us to see the enemy in the framework of a fairy tale. Because in a fairy tale, the hero always wins. And we've already won through Jesus. But a lot of times, our lives don't look like that, do it? We see things in our lives and we say, oh, where's God for us? How come this has happened? And we start believing the fairy tale that the enemy's trying to sell us, which says, I'm in control and I've won. Okay? Now, he gave me this most amazing scripture, because I'm telling you right now that those who are pure in heart, and if we're in Christ, we're pure in heart, right? That is the big prize for the enemy. He wants to try to defile us. Okay? Now, he can't in the spirit. It's impossible because we're one with God. But he can come against us through our minds, through our beliefs, through our circumstances, and make us believe we are no longer sanctified. We are no longer protected. Okay? That's why we look at him like a fairy tale. You know, are you kidding? Why am I going to take you seriously? And this is the scripture he gave. And it's really important. And it's this, it's 1 Corinthians 3:17. And it's God's guarantee for us. Okay? It says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Okay, now usually that's taught as, if you do something bad, God's going to destroy you. No, he's not going to destroy the temple. He's going to destroy the one who tries to defile or does defile the temple of God. It says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He doesn't destroy his temple. He doesn't destroy us. Okay? He destroys the one who defiles. So who's the one who defiles? The devil, right? So when we're in the middle of a battle, rather than thinking we have lost because circumstances haven't changed, we need to see it as a fairy tale. And we know in the fairy tale, there's only one standing. After the whole story has ended, there's only one standing. It's the winner, right? And the winner is always the hero. Okay? So this is how we need to look at things, whether we're fighting for something for ourselves or whether we're in a battle for something for someone else. He wants to make it really, really clear. Don't be deceived and think that the enemy's won. Because he was defeated by the cross, wasn't he? That is finished. But because the enemy comes at us and plays a lot of games and tries to defile us in our thinking, in our believing, in our faith, we then start believing the lie. And the Holy Spirit made it really clear to me yesterday. He said, when you are coming up against a strong enemy, okay, in whatever situation, whether it's in ministry, whether it's personal, whether it's relational, it doesn't matter, whether it's financial, whatever way, you are not to get caught up in the deception of the enemy. You're supposed to see it as a fairy tale. It's just a fairy tale, guys. That's what he was saying to Jesse. It's just a fairy tale. So that we don't hype up, freak out, and lose our clarity of mind, because we need that soundness of mind, to be able to withstand what is coming against us. And then when he was showing me that it's a fairy tale, he said, don't make a big deal about what's coming against you. They've lost. The enemy's defeated. So why make him into this, you know, huge mountain of fear? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. Let's see if I get this back. At the end of time, when, you know, when at the end of, you know, the enemy having any power here on earth, where it says we're going to look with him almost like with squinted eyes and go, that's the one that made nations tremble? See, he wants us to see that now. He wants to see that how small the enemy is in comparison to the living God that lives in us right now. Look at it like a fairy tale. It's just a story. It's not the end of you. It's not something that is overwhelming. Like I think it was you, Joyce. I think it was you that said, I forget sometimes with the twins, that said about having an attack, you know, a presence, a demonic presence come and attack you. Is that right? Can you just write whether that's correct? Yep. Okay. And remember, what did Holy Spirit say? Okay, you started praising God. That was the first thing you did. And then you started talking to Holy Spirit. And what did he say? He said, why were you afraid? It's like, I'm the power of the living God. What are you afraid of? And that's what he wants us to get. He really wants us to get that we are not at the mercy of some villain called Satan. That in fact, we are absolutely infused with complete power in him. In Jesus' name. And so the fairy tale is the enemy pretending that he is the one in control and that he's the big guy and he's the one who's going to overwhelm us. No, he was already overwhelmed. He was humiliated. It's finished. But until we agree with that, we will then believe that his delusion, like there's two fairy tales going around. Bartek, can you turn your mic down, please? It's going into my recording now. So there's two fairy tales. One fairy tale is the enemy's. And in his fairy tale, he wins. Because he's living in a delusion and a lie, because he can only lie, okay? So he can only believe lies. And that's the fairy tale he tries to sell us. Now there's another fairy tale, and that's Holy Spirit. And that's the truth, because he's a spirit of truth, and he can only speak the truth. Okay, so what needs to happen is we've got to decide, you know, which fairy tale are we going to believe? The real one is that Jesus Christ defeated the enemy and humiliated him, made a spectacle of him. the false fairy tale, which is the one that the enemy tries to slip under your door, is the one that says, I'm still in control and I've won. And if he can scare us, just like you had, Joyce, there he was coming into your bedroom, you know, pretty uncomfortable. It's not a pleasant thing to have it happen. We don't want that happening to us. But if you had reacted, going, oh no, he would have got a hold. Okay. Not because he has power, but because you would have yielded to him. And we've got to learn that yielding to the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Let's see, better go back. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is where our triumph is. And that's what we want to get to. We don't, when things come at us, we don't want to freak out. He was showing me the story of Elijah. Remember when Elijah, called the fire from heaven and all of those prophets were destroyed and the fire of God even absorbed all the water, did everything with such an intense fire. So he's totally defeated the false, you know, prophets and their even the people's belief in this false God. Okay. And yet one person, Jezebel, you know, the nasty queen, points her finger at him and says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs for his life. Now he's just defeated 450 prophets of Baal through the power of God. But he runs from his life because one woman said she would murder him. And that's what God's trying to show us. I have defeated everything of the enemy through Jesus Christ. All of it. Death, fear, disease, sickness, anguish, pain, all of it. But the devil still has one voice, Jezebel, right? And he goes, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt your children. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. And watch me. I'm going to start doing it. And when he does, when he starts doing that, you know, starts making some kind of, when he first attacks, just verbally tells us through our thoughts or our emotions, and we believe it, that's when he gets that inroad. Okay? Basically, seeing the enemy for the size he is. In comparison to God, is he huge? No. But we treat him like he is. And Joyce had, I wish she could speak here because it was a wonderful story of, she had a enemy presence, you know,
in the middle of the night
and visit her, which is very uncomfortable. And she, rather than reacting with terror when the presence came in, I think it even sat on her bed, she didn't react with terror. She started praising God. And then she spoke to the Holy Spirit. And then Holy Spirit even said to her, and it went. And as it went, the Holy Spirit then said, why were you afraid? I mean, he expects us not to be afraid, not because, oh, you're in trouble if you're afraid, but don't you know who I am? You know, I'm the one who comes to save you. I'm the one who lives in you. I'm the power of God. I am God. And that's what he wants us to get. And if we could get that, well, nothing can touch us. And that's what we need to get. And he's trying to show us that we are the one, you know, in that fairy tale, you know, there's the hero in the fairy tale obviously can be representative of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Yeah? The prince who comes to kiss the Sleeping Beauty or the poisoned Snow White. He's the Savior, isn't he? And the Savior lives in us. But a lot of times we don't believe it. We believe the wrong fairy tale. And we need to believe the story that God in the Bible has written, excuse me, has written for us. And we have been saved, and we're being sanctified, and we are free from oppression, but we don't live like that. We live as if we're still victims. And that's why we're miserable. And that's what we need to change, is how we view it. You know, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah? And that renewal is to actually believe what happened at the cross. Because he showed me recently that, you know, through other attacks from other people, that rather than my panicking, which at first I was, because it was very, very heavy, and I became afraid and a bit overwhelmed. And I spoke to him about it. And Holy Ghost, this is why I love him so, Holy Spirit made it really clear. He kept saying, Jesse, see it as a fairy tale. And every time I'd go, yeah, but this and this and this and this, he'd go, Jesse, see it as a fairy tale. And then I'd go, yeah, but da-da-da-da-da. And he'd go, Jesse, see it as a fairy tale. And I thought, well, what do you mean by that? And then I realized the fairy tales make believe. A fairy tale, you know, a fairy tale is a story. How freaked out can you get about a story in a book? Not a lot. It's just a story. And that's what he's saying. The enemy wants you to think that the fairy tale is real and that he's the winner. But it's not. It's not the truth. But if he can convince you, just like he can do it with your tongue, you know, the power of the universe is in your tongue. If he can get allegiance of your tongue, or your mind, or your belief with what he's saying, he's got the access to power of the universe. And we've got to realize that, and we've got to stop doing it. In Jesus' name, we just have to stop, because otherwise he will not defeat us in the sense of eternal defeat, no. But he'll defeat us in battles on as we're going on our walk. And we don't need to be defeated, because he was. And that's what has to turn around. Let's believe the story that God gave us in the scriptures and not the lying story that the devil tries to get us to believe. You know, and the first thing that we have to overcome is fear. Because fear is the one that lets everything flood us. So if when something comes at us, or we're seeing a situation where we, you know, aren't seeing any healing, or we feel desperate, or it looks hopeless, usually there's fear involved. And we've got to not cave into the fear. So the first thing we do is always go to Holy Spirit and go, uh-oh, I'm really scared. I don't know how to handle this. You're my comforter. You're my helper. Help me. He keeps showing me his position as helper lately. The last few days, he's like, I'm your helper. So what does a helper do? They help. So if I can't understand something, I have to ask him for help. If I don't know how to overcome a feeling, I need his help. Help me to do this. Help me to understand. Help me to see. Because he wants us to see the way he sees. Which means it's going to include seeing the things that we may not want to see. What people really are doing, what's really behind the scenes. We're going to see that as well. But then we're going to know how to approach the issues rather than just be deceived by emotion and what the enemy's saying. You know, Holy Spirit wants us to actually get who's the hero. And he wants us to get who's the hero? Well, Jesus Christ, because he defeated the enemy by the cross and his resurrection. He's the hero. And who are we in? We're in Jesus Christ. And who abides in us? Holy Spirit, the living God. So who's the hero? We're the hero in the fairy tale. And the enemy wants to convince us that we're losers. And we have no power. And he can defeat us at any turn. And he can scare us. And one of the biggest things that we were talking about was emotions. And there was another lady on before, and she had an unpleasant demonic visitation a couple of weeks ago, and you know, in her bedroom, the presence, and she, her reaction, rather than being terrified, I mean, she didn't like it at first, obviously, it's uncomfortable, but she immediately started praising God, and then she started talking to Holy Spirit, okay, and it left.
Amen.
Yeah, it left. And then Holy Spirit said to her, why were you afraid? Isn't it amazing? Like he knows everything about you. You know, you, it doesn't matter how brave you might look on the outside. He goes, "Why were you afraid?" You know, and that's what we have to realize. We have a relationship with him, and he's going, "Come on, I'm in you. What are you afraid of?" If we can get a handle of that, you know, anything that comes against us, anything that comes against us is like so puny. And we don't have to really, the whole idea is that when something comes against us, you know, the enemy, I mean, obviously he's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He's going to come against us. It's not like he's not going to attack. We have to know that that's going to come. But when we really get Holy Spirit, and my husband actually said it in a really good way. He said, the power of God is like a sword in us, extending out of us. And what it does is it destroys the enemy. But we don't see it like that. We sometimes see ourselves as these puny humans that have to come against this huge satanic force. No, that's insane. That was before the cross. It was true before the cross. That is what we were dealing with. That was what humanity had to deal with. And they didn't even know there was Satan running after them all the time. They just always thought it was God being mean. But it's not like that now. We have the awareness, but more importantly, we have the Spirit of God living in us. Not just as our friend, not just beside us, not just as a hope of a prophecy coming, but within us. In our very selves. And we need to actually react to the enemy with that truth. So that the fairy tale that the enemy tries to sell us, which is, you know, I can defeat you, I'm the big bad wolf, and I'm gonna huff, and I'm gonna puff, and I'm gonna blow your house down. So all of that, we just laugh. You know, like the little pig who had the brick house. It's like, yeah, right. Yeah, you're gonna blow this down? Yeah, no problems. Huh? Yeah, have a go. Just get that all that hot air in there and just blow it out, you know, until you're exasperated. And that's, we can exasperate the enemy by living in peace inside, regardless of what he's trying to do on the outside. If
That's
we
right.
can live in peace, because it's the Prince of Peace that lives in us, and it's not only that, he said, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives. Now, his peace is never conditional.
That's right.
And it's never based on what's happening in my life, but it's based on him, the Prince of Peace, and what he did on that cross. And that cannot be defeated, and that can be not be undone. No matter what the enemy does, he cannot undo the cross. So if we actually live in that place of truth, we are undefeatable even in daily circumstances. And the enemy will be so tired and crying and tearing his hair out, we can just watch him skulk away like an old ragged cat, going, oh, this is too hard. You know, I'll go somewhere else. And then the somewhere else that he goes to, well, we taught them how to do it too. So he goes there and it's the same problem. And then that person taught the other but next believer. So he's got nowhere to go. That's what we want. We want the entire body completely empowered with the truth of God. So it's not just for us. When we start to live like this, we got to pass it on. You know, what does it say? Pass it forward. You know, let's pass this peace forward so that no matter what comes at us, we don't falter. Because we know the fairy tale is that the enemy is defeated. And that the hero has won, and we live in the hero, and the hero lives in us. And that changes everything. And you know, the way that we get to that is that we really commune with Holy Spirit. So when we're desperate and frightened, and those emotions do take over, if we get to that place, we go to Holy Spirit and we say, he's been teaching me. I said this a little bit before you girls got on. He's teaching me what it means for what his capacity is as a helper. He's a helper. He helps us with everything. Okay, he not only teaches us concerning all things, leads us into all truth, comforts us when we're hurting and uncomfortable, but he helps us with everything that we are confronting or that is confronting us. So we need to engage him as a helper and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know how to turn this around. I don't know how to fight this one. I don't know what's coming at me. I can't even understand it, but I know something's wrong because my spirit is so unsettled or my soul is so disturbed. And then he can help. And that's how we get to that place of always knowing we're the hero at the end of the fairy tale. So no matter how wicked or how ugly something is that wants to attack us, he said, and I was sharing it with Lizzie the other day, he has this most wonderful, I love this scripture, because it tells us the defeated one is defeated forever, and it tells us God is for us always. And it says this, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So God will destroy anyone that defiles the temple of God. Well, anything, any devil coming against us is going to try to defile. And God's guarantee is that he will destroy it. So we're going out there with this banner. I can see it. It's like on a battlefield. We've got this huge banner with, you know, the cross on it. Kind of like the Swiss, I think it's the Swiss Army knife thing. You know, the red, it's red, and this big white cross across the flag. A huge, huge, tall pole. And that's our banner above us. And we're going in undefeatable. Because God says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We're going in there already victorious. That's how the truth. And when we start to see that, do you know what will happen? We'll start to see victory in every area of our lives. Instead of seeing potential defeat. Oh, this is really hard. Oh, they're really mean. Oh, look what's happening to me, whether it's at work, a work situation, or whether it's family, or whether it's disease, all of it. We are not the ones at the end of the fairy tale that get defeated. We're the hero. You know, we're the bride. We're like the Sleeping Beauty and the hero that kisses her. We're both, because Holy Spirit's in us. So we've been awakened by being born again and filled with His Spirit. And now we the enemy comes at us and tries to tell us, no, you're that poor little damsel in distress, and I'm going to attack you, and I'm going to, you know, like in Rapunzel, he's just giving me all these fairy tales. He's flooding my head with fairy tales, you know, and the wicked witch cuts off her hair, and so the poor prince can't get up there, but, you know, then he does get up anyway with the ropes or whatever it was that she used. And that's how it is for us. We're not the damsel in distress anymore. We're the ones helping people get out of distress. So we've got to stop believing that we're the ones, the victims. We're out there on the battlefield, and it's a flat battlefield, I'm telling you guys. And there's this huge banner. It's blowing wildly in the wind with his cross on it. And you know what the funny thing is? There's nobody against us in this vision. The battle's clear. They don't even come. There's no one there on the other side of the battlefield. I'm looking at it right now. In fact, I see a few running the opposite sides of us. And they're running. You're trying to avoid us. They're going either side. Because they're hoping that we don't see them. And all we're doing is standing there with this banner, this huge flag of the cross on a red background. There's nobody there coming up against us to fight us. That's where we really are. But we don't live like it, and that's why the enemy gets to run us ragged. But where we really are is there's nobody else on the battlefield, and they're running on off either side of us, hoping that we don't see them. That's the truth. And that's what was done on the cross.
There's witness with me, like, I'm just really in that place of revelation where I realize the main enemy's, the enemy's main goal is to steal my peace, because yes. It's so precious.
Yes.
Because out of peace flows all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because out of peace is abiding in the vine.
Yes.
And peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you're resting, that's where the Holy Spirit can flow freely, because the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Yes, hallelujah.
And, you know, freedom is not, you know, that's not the enemy's game. The enemy's game is constriction, bondage.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
You know what I mean? So yes. It's like, he's showing me these two polar opposites. And for so long, I kind of got him confused. And I feel like a lot of maybe the body of Christ feels like, well, sometimes God wants to put you in bondage. But no, the Lord is a spirit, or the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Mm. And there's liberty. And the more we know that our peace is so precious, and to guard our hearts from letting the enemy come in, like you were saying, whether it's, you feel like there's a certain situation, you were saying, even in, with, you know, you feel like this is going on at work or whatever.
Mm.
Really, we're not the damsel in distress. Like you said, we protect our peace.
Yes.
Like, we know how to just abide in him. That's just what he's been showing me. So I can totally just right on, cheer you on. Yeah. I'm glad that God is, like, in such a way.
And actually, yeah, from the peace comes the joy, interestingly enough, because he was showing that to me last night with a situation that I was dealing with, and I mean, it's so silly, but we do this. Something's really uncomfortable in our lives. Rather than immediately going to God, we try to either work it out in our own heads, we try to be brave, and then we also don't want to talk to God about it because it's so uncomfortable. And we're trying to, the entire day I was avoiding talking to him about a situation that I really needed help with. By the end of the night, I finally gave up. And I asked for his help. And he was so fluid that while he was talking to me about other things, you know, Holy Spirit just giving me revelation about other things that I didn't even know I was thinking about. Because he knows your thoughts before you think them. And he's showing me the result of it. He's showing me these really positive results. You know, he's showing me these really positive results that were already happening in my life. Besides this other issue, he's just giving, you know, it's like he's just gracing you with, don't you realize? And look at this area that you thought was a problem, but this is really good. And he wasn't trying to avoid the other problem. He was just saying, I'm going to give you this as well. You thought this wasn't working, but this is even working good. And But I was thinking, you know, I didn't even ask for that extra bonus of acknowledgement of other things that he's helped transform in my life and things that I'm doing well. He was commending me. And here I was worried about this issue, and my whole head was so consumed with the issue that I wasn't even looking at positive things that had already happened. And he was just drawing my attention to that. And besides drawing my attention to those positive things, he also took care of the other one. It was amazing. He showed me all of a sudden all this fear and all this worry and all this heaviness was just completely removed when I came to him honestly as a child, not trying to be a big shot and figure it all out myself, but as a child and say to him, this has been really hard. This is why I'm concerned. These are my fears about it. These are my worries. How do I do it? Can you help me? You're my helper. And he just fluidly, it's not like he does it the way we do in a conversation. You know, we do this back and forth conversation. Somebody asks a question, you have an answer. Somebody is confused, and then you clarify. He doesn't even do it like that. He's so fluid that you don't even know how he answers, but he answered. And suddenly, I had understanding. But it wasn't the back and forth dialogue that we usually think, oh, when I talk to God, I have to say this and he's going to do that. So I did my part of telling him everything that was going on that was bothering me, that I had been avoiding telling him because I was hoping this was all going to go away. So that goes on too, Gav. I heard you. Anyway, so what he showed is that come to him with all of that. What does he say? Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. We try to work it out ourselves for, you know, days or weeks or hours on end. We still try to do that. Oh, no, I shouldn't bother him. And you know what it really is? It's not bothering him. You know why we don't do it? Well, I know personally why I didn't do it, is I didn't want to deal with it. I actually was expecting it to go away. I mean, come on. It doesn't work like that. So when I addressed it and gave it to him and showed him my concerns, then all the anxiety about it, all the heaviness about it, all the worry about it totally dissipated and disappeared. And he addressed it the way he does, which is supernaturally, not the way we do, which is naturally, and we tie ourselves in knots. And we don't want to do that. You know, that's pointless. So what we need to do in order to have that peace, and you're absolutely right, Lizzie, because that is one of the prizes that, you know, the enemy wants. He wants to destroy purity. That's that whole thing about defiling. But God says, I'll destroy the one who defiles the temple. And we are the temple. So we've got a guarantee from, you know, Big Daddy. You know, it's like, I would be watching myself. If you want to defile one of his own, wow, you are really insane. Because you're coming up against the one who created the universe. If that's what somebody wants to do, somebody wants to do that, okay, go for your life. You know, watch yourself get completely destroyed because that's what's coming. So in one way, we don't have to worry about it. Okay, our part is that we don't go along with the defiling. We don't agree to it. We don't act on it. We don't, you know, give in to temptation, all of that. That's our part. But we don't have to worry about the end result. The end result is that one gets destroyed. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. So those things that, you know, that the enemy wants to attempt to defile, he wants to defile our peace even. You know, like, so yesterday, while I was dealing with this issue, and this is why, you know, Holy Spirit's so practical, while I was dealing with the issue, or attempting not to deal with the issue, and hoping, oh God, can this feeling go away? Can this oppression go away? Can this heaviness go away? I don't want to deal with it. It's too hard. I'm ministering to people. This is too hard. Rather than just going to him and saying, look, I'm really having a hard time with this. This is why I'm upset about it. This is what I'm afraid of. Da 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 da. Within a few moments, he just dissolved. Anyway, the whole point is that we can go to him at any time because obviously he lives in us. So, you know, it's not like we have to make an appointment. And we can speak to him freely and not feel bad if we are afraid, not feel bad if we feel scared. We don't have to do that. We don't have to try to hide it from him. We go to him and tell him straight. We are straight with him, honest with him, and he takes care of it. And that's what we have to learn, that we can actually trust Holy Spirit in us and not be afraid that he's going to be disappointed with us or think little of us because we don't know how to handle something. Or why would he be the helper? What would we need help in if we were so self-sufficient? But some of the teaching that we've all had in the church, you know, whether you want to call it doctrines or just beliefs, is that we're supposed to take care of these things and not ever have fear and not ever have doubts in faith. You know, oh, you can't please God without, it's impossible to please him without faith. Well, my faith is I pleased him when I believed the cross and I believed that he rose again. I've pleased him. Now, in moments, I'm not saying we don't continue in faith with him about issues or things that we need to overcome, but we don't have to be worried that we're displeasing him because we have a doubt or a fear. We have to come to him with the doubt and the fear and say, I don't know how to handle this. This is too hard for me. And then he says, okay, good. I can help you now because you've allowed me. And you're not trying to do it yourself. Do you see how that's a complete twist of what we've been trained to believe? And instead of...
Self-help Christianity is oxymoron.
It is. It is. Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. I totally agree. If we don't need Christ, then there's no need to be a Christian. And if Christ is now, since he's at the right hand of the Father... And he prayed to the Father to send Holy Spirit. The Father sent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit agreed to dwell in us so that now we're the temple of God. And we're going to try to do this on our own backs. Well, then we've denied the whole point of the cross. Really. You know, then the cross of Christ is made of no effect because we're so clever that we can handle our lives by ourselves. And we might as well be unbelievers because that's what unbelievers do. So we need to be believing believers, you know.
Amen.
You know, and accept the help. This strain for independence. I mean, from back in the garden, you know, the tendency to want to be independent. And look what it turned into.
Yeah, God was just speaking to me about that this morning, about how the first thing he said is, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you will die. Mm. He loved them enough to tell them, you're going to die. I don't want you to die.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So
he made us dependent on them.
Exactly. And we need to acknowledge it and live in it daily life. Okay, it's okay to say it. You know, we can do lip service to Christianity all the time, and most Christians do. And we can speak all the right things and say all the right things, but have no relationship with Holy Spirit. Be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Think that it's a seducing spirit. You know, be taught all this nonsense. That's real fairy tale stuff. That's a bad fairy tale. And then not seek his help whatsoever. When in fact, in every part of our daily lives, we should be going to Holy Spirit with everything and saying, okay, I've got these bills and I don't know how to pay them, but you're my helper. So I'm asking you to help me. I'm serious. You know, we've got to be that practical about it. Or say you're having an attack at work or in a relationship or ministry or something like that. Rather than going, okay, I'm going to bind this and I'm going to cast out that. Okay, and then what's the next step do I do? Okay, I'll cover it with blood. Okay, and then let's see, what do I do? Oh, I declare defeat. Okay, and then rather than going to him and going, whoa, this one's so big and overwhelming, I don't even know how to deal with it, so help me. And let him help. Do we really believe he's our helper? Here to help us. And when we do pray, that when we pray for the things that we know are right and are his will, do we really believe, because it says in the word, that we can pray anything in his name, and the Father in heaven will do it, then we've got to, that's when the peace comes. I prayed. And that whole Philippians 4, you know, the people just kind of cursed me over. Okay, be anxious for nothing for, what is it, 4:6? 4:6, yeah, 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but through everything, prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. People think that's just a nice saying. I once had the actual physical experience of it, and it was so incredible. I was a very new Christian. I was having thoughts about moving countries. And in the past, I'd been really homesick, and I wanted to go back to America. And so that thought came up, and it can even become a temptation. You know, these things can become temptation where they consume you. And as a new Christian, you know, I was just totally trusting what my father said. And I knew, but, okay. So, Aiden, will you stop it? Please. It's my last time, or I'm going to have that PlayStation turned off. I know tongues are being stuck out, but anyway. Okay. All right. And, of course, that was on recording. That's great. Okay, well, there's family time. All right. So, anyway, might as well be real here. We're being real with Holy Ghost. We might as well be real with everybody. Okay. So, when the person asked me, are you going to back to America? I immediately came out of my mouth without my thinking. I said, well, if that's God's will for me, he'll take care of it. And the person left. We had dinner together, and then they left my little cottage I was living in Tasmania. And all of a sudden, the peace of God that passes all understanding came upon me and was so thick you could have eaten it with a fork and knife. And it stayed upon me for 6 hours. I remember thinking, because I had done all this meditation stuff. I'd done the Buddhism stuff. I had done every ism. I'd done Sufism. I tried everything before I met Jesus, because I was looking for God and all the wrong places. And here I was, not doing anything other than just trusting God, that if it was his will, he would work it out. Peace descended and filled this little cottage. It was like golden light. It was incredible. And I just sat in it, and I had my little fire going, because it was winter and it was very cold in Tasmania. And I remember thinking and saying to him, and I didn't even understand how to talk to Holy Spirit or anything like that right back then, but I remember saying to him aloud, I tried for years to get this kind of peace meditation, and all I had to do was trust you. Isn't that amazing? That's how good it is. So when we have an issue, we can be like little children, so we can enter the kingdom of heaven and have his peace. We can go to him and say, this problem is too hard for me. I don't understand how to deal with it. And you're my helper, Holy Spirit, and I need your help. And he will come upon and awaken within you whatever needs to be done to solve it. That's how good God is. All the time. We only need to invite him. It's really that simple. And it just causes us to love him more. Because he didn't just give us Jesus on the cross and say, okay, now you've got a ticket to heaven. He's given him himself to live in us. Who's always accessible, always there, and always one with us. And doesn't miss a beat. And only needs us to not avoid him. So if we stop avoiding him, boy, peace will flow like a river. We'll have it all the time.
I guess sometimes that leads us to feel hopeless.
Say again, Lizzie, you sometimes you feel hopeless.
Now, sometimes the enemy wants us to feel hopeless in certain situations.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
That we're getting attacked. Mm. I know in my work, I'm struggling because I'm learning to involve God in my work. I don't want to try to handle it on my own anymore.
Because
I used to get really stressed. I'm learning to involve God, and sometimes like the enemy discourages me, but I'm like, God's works in such amazing ways in my life. Like, this is not hard for him.
No. No. No, nothing's too hard. Yeah, that's right.
It's new for me.
That's right. And it's exciting because when you start doing it, and then, you know, you grow more dependent, don't you? On him. And more trusting. Because, you know, when you let him into another area of your life and you see him work what you could not work without him, that just builds you again in relationship with him. So the more we invite him in, the deeper our relationship with God grows. And because I've heard some of this kind of an idea or teaching, whatever you want to call it, that, okay, you're already filled, you already have all of him, and you need nothing else. As if it's all over. Well, that's like getting married and saying, well, darling, you know, we consummated on the wedding night, and so that's good, and now we're married. You know, I'll see you at breakfast. You know what I mean? You're not going to have much of a marriage. Or you never talk.
Yeah.
You know, you never talk to them other than, okay, how was your day? Uh-huh. Yep. Here's dinner. Bye. You know, that's how we tend to treat Holy Spirit. Most people don't even know he's in there and that he's a person to relate to. That's a news to them. And that it's okay. They have permission to relate to him. He's not a crazy spirit. It's going to make them bark like dogs. Or do any other bizarre things. That's not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is quite dignified. But you know, like with David, you know, when he worshipped God, there's no limit in your love for him and in your swirling in the love affair with God. That can be quote unquote undignified to those who are on the outside looking in going, oh my gosh, you're nuts. But not in terms of having some kind of bizarre thing take you over and you have no control of yourself anymore. And, you know, because that doesn't make sense when he says one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Why would he give us that if we're supposed to go wacky? You know, and could then call that Holy Ghost, because see, the enemy likes that. The enemy likes people to think that Holy Spirit is a nutcase. Because then most people don't want anything to do with him. Rather than he's the abiding presence, the person of God living in you. I don't think that's a nutcase, because, he made everything, designed it perfectly, loves us. There is that delusion that people, and a lot of the church, like mainstream church, or maybe even, I'd say definitely mainstream denominations, and would think that a lot of that, you know, what's called charismatic Christianity is insane, and some of it is insane. It's not from him at all. it's not from God at all. Because relationship, deep relationship with God does not need you to act bizarre and go out of your body and be strange to everyone else so that everybody thinks, wow, this Jesus stuff is even worse than I thought. I just thought they were about a bunch of holy rollers. No, they're actually crazy. I don't even do things on my drugs. That's the kind of thing that people would say. I think it is important to address that because a lot of people, there's a lot of anxiety in the church about relating to Holy Spirit, and I've had quite a bit of flack myself for teaching about Holy Spirit and how to actually have a proper relationship with Him, because He's a person and He's a person of God living in us. But people freak out and think that you're talking about all this insane stuff that they see in some circles of people wildly losing control of themselves and doing very strange behaviors, and that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about intimacy with the living God. Right now, right here in your living room, or your bedroom, or your kitchen, or wherever you happen to be, or in your car, and you don't have to do anything to force it, because He's there, with you, in you. So what you do is you just begin to speak to Him, and just engage Him, and talk to Him. And I was reading yesterday, this book that he's writing with me, or re-inspiring me to write, about being spirit-led healing. And one of the things it talks about is communing. What does it mean to really commune with Holy Spirit? And when, you know, people think, I had somebody talk to me about meditating, and they said, you know, oh, I try really hard, and I just sit there just to be quiet and try to hear from Him, but my mind's racing. I said, that's Eastern meditation. You're not supposed to do that. Because, you know, the word meditate in Hebrew actually means to pray, to speak, to
mutter under your breath.
Yeah, to complain. You can complain to Him. I love that. Because I do it all the time, you know, and you start to think something's wrong with you. But He's like, no, that's meditating with me. Complain. Tell me everything. Tell me what's going on with you. He wants us to do that. Just like you do in a normal relationship. If you come to meet a friend for coffee, you don't just sit there, close your eyes, do you, and be silent. I mean, I think they would probably leave pretty quickly because there's nothing going on. And that's the same with Holy Spirit. He's a person. You don't just sit there and go, oh, you're a spirit, so I've got to just be quiet and let you in. And blah, blah. I mean, number one, that's making the assumption that He's not in. He's already in. He's in us. We just want to awaken to His presence and allow Him to fill us, touch us, surround us, whatever it is that He wants to do, by giving Him that permission. But our part is to be open with Him and be honest with Him and say all those things and talk to Him openly and then allow Him. What I find is once we do that, we get our part done. People say, oh, well, I tell Him all that and then nothing happens. And you know why? Because they're not talking to Holy Spirit. They're not. They don't even know He's a person. So how, if you go to coffee with somebody and there's nobody at the other chair and you just talk aloud, well, you do feel you just talk to yourself. Because that's what you did. You know, you just talk to yourself. Because you don't even believe He's there. But when we start to know that He really is in us and we're one, and when we talk, He hears us. Because how can He not hear me if He's in me? It's kind of going to be really hard, but I know He's really there. So I know that He's listening. So then I'm open to His response. And even last night when I had this issue that I needed to talk to Him about, once I gave Him my concerns and my thoughts about it and even the direction I wanted and all of that, He came in, as He always does, so fluidly. He is like a dove in the sense that the way He flows in us. It's not, I mean, there's times when He's a rushing river and, you know, it's incredible as well. I'm not saying He's not one-dimensional at all. But when I was communing with Him in that place and in that time, He just came over me so softly and gave me the answers and gave me confirmation and gave me confidence in what He was doing, and that it really would be all right. And that was amazing. And that's what he wants to do for us all the time. So we have to stop being independent or pretending we are, as if that's true. And actually seek him out, not in the sense that we're running from conference to conference or place to place or teacher to teacher or pastor to pastor or person to person. No. Seek him out on the inside and ask him whatever it is we need to ask him and allow him to be our helper and to take us through the things that we're going through in victory. Because we're the ones with the big banner of the red flag with the big white cross on it. And the enemy is scattering. I'm telling you, they're going, I can see us. That was that vision I had before. Okay, because it's a few of us right now. So we're all under this huge banner. And I mean, it's like 50, 100 feet tall. We're holding it up on a pole. And the enemy, and I could see these little like demonic minions, and they're quite ugly. And they're going on either, you know how something goes on either side, and it's a curve? They're not even going straight on either side. They're curving around trying to skulk away from our sight. The troops that the enemy sent are running for their lives, skulking away in a bend on either side of us. And we're just standing there doing nothing. We're not fighting it out with them and screaming things and carrying on at all. We're just standing there. We're silent. We're smiling and looking up at the banner of that cross. I see you in particular, Lizzie. You're just looking up at that huge flag and smiling and knowing, oh yeah, that's enough. The cross is enough. And just watching them go. I mean, there's more and more of them coming out. They're like, they were all hidden, ready to attack. And now they're running. Boy, this is amazing. That's the truth of the cross. And that's why we have to...
Like, spectacle of that on the cross.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we... That's why that whole fairy tale analogy that Holy Spirit's giving us is they were made a spectacle of. So see it as a fairy tale. When the enemy comes at you and goes, oh, this terrible thing's going to happen, and oh, I've got my witches and my people all over coming after you, ha, ha, ha. And Holy Spirit says... See it as a fairy tale. Because the enemy's full of malarkey. And he's a liar.
His time is short.
And he's very short.
It says in Revelation
yes.
12 that his wrath is great because his time is short.
Yes.
And he accuses the brethren day and night. But we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
There you go. There's that flag. Mightily held up by us in the blue sky, blowing in the wind, and they're all running. We didn't even say a word. Not a word. Now, that's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's freedom. And it also says
that's
that...
like little rhyme, this like poem, one time while I was like driving. It kept coming in my head like throughout... period of time, a couple of days, he's like, the devil's attacks are to distract us from the fact that his time is short. Don't believe the bad report. Instead, pull out your sword.
Yes.
It just kept going. And
that's
going
perfect.
And going.
That's perfect.
I'm like, wow, God, you're awesome.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, Lizzie. I mean, it's perfect. That's exactly right. While I was writing this book that Holy Spirit has inspired and is telling me what to write, you know, I kind of play secretary. But it's us together. We're one. You know, it's he uses my style and personality, but he says what he wants to say. He tells me the content. So we work together. We're collaborating. And when this attack came was when I was writing, really flowing in the middle of this book. So rather than my being distracted by somebody who's trying to attack me, I should have just kept writing. I've been off writing that for 2 days now. It had me going for 2 days. And God kept reminding me, he said, you know, you remember the book? Every time I get back into the book, I get so excited. And because it's a book that is for freedom for the body. That book needs to be out there right away, and I need to just put it online. It's just going to be a PDF or ebook or whatever they call it, and just free, and anyone can access it at any time of day or night. And he wants that out there. And this enemy has come at me at this particular time to stop me, because the people that were involved in this attack contacted me at the time I was writing. Right at the time, in the middle of this flow. And they kept trying to contact me. Don't tell me that's not enemy, yeah? And like you said, rather than being distracted, because he's trying to say, oh, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, I should have just gone, oh, no, the sword, that's right, the sword of the pen. You know, mightier is, you know, isn't it say, the pen is mightier than the sword? There's my sword. God's word through Holy Spirit, what he wants to share with the body to free these people. And people are telling the things
that
are...
Yeah, the emo word.
Yes, the thing, exactly. The things that are in this booklet, it's really a booklet. It's not as big as, you know, what I thought it was going to be. But anyway, the things that are in this booklet are things that people are coming to me right now for ministry. And I'm like, oh, this book has got to be out there so that they don't have to wait for me because it's 3:00 in the morning in Australia. So they can just go, oh... Wow, okay, yeah. Oh, yes, oh, good, good. Now I understand, you know, and then they can, and it's all about Holy Spirit, it's all about being with Him. It's not about, this is my method, do it my way. It's all about relation with Him. That's what the book is completely focused on. So people that don't even have a proper relationship with Him by the end of the book will. That's what I'm praying, that's what I'm asking from Him. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So they can have it. You know, it's not mine to keep. So, it's learning who he really is, you know, and what he really does, and what he wants to do for us. And being independent is totally a lie of the enemy that says, oh, you know, you should be able to handle this. No, I can't handle it, because I can do nothing without Christ. And I can do all things through him and with him. So I might as well go to Holy Spirit, because he's the living God living in me, and he's going to tell me how to handle it. It's so simple. People think this, it can't be like that. No, it can't be like that. You've got to do all these other things and read your scripture and fast and you know, be really good. Well, no, actually Jesus was really good. So now I'm good. And now all I have to do is benefit from his goodness and receive what he's given me. And he's given me his very spirit.
We're wondering, Haley actually has to leave now, if you would be willing to, like, pray with us for her friend, like.
Sure. I'll pause it. So that scripture that you said of Luke 21:14-15, therefore settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which your adversaries will not be able to contradict nor resist. And did you want to talk a little bit about that, Lizzie? Because you had a couple of points that I thought were important.
Yeah, sure. Basically, it's all about letting the Spirit move and letting the Spirit speak through you, because, you know, you can't use your carnal mind. You can't use an unspiritual mind to convey spiritual ideas. And that's why it's written that who knows the things of God? Who knows the mind of God? But we have the mind of Christ. And it's the Spirit that gives you the mouth and the words to speak those spiritual things. And it's actually, Jesus even said, like, my words are spirit and they are life. And so sometimes if we get caught up in planning beforehand, we can almost just input our own ideas. And it's just really beautiful when you go in, he says, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you'll answer, but letting him give you the words to say. And then not only are you amazed, but you trust him.
Yeah.
You learn to trust him as you go, as you walk.
Mm. And it's,
so I think that's even a benefit to others too.
Yep, yep. And the other benefit of that is you frustrate the bejeebies out of your enemies. you know, because they can't answer it. And you didn't have to figure out what's gonna confuse them, because he says he'll confound our enemies, doesn't he?
Yeah, sometimes we have weak enemies for warfare, and I believe oftentimes the method, we stand strong in God's mighty power. We hold on to the armor of God, to stand firm against the devil's schemes. Because the devil is scheming.
Yeah.
But what we have is more powerful. The armor we have is more powerful. But sometimes we dissect these things, like these spiritual ideas, and make them into a method. But
exactly.
I think really,
exactly.
God is saying is depend on me. Depend
exactly.
on my power.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
the
whole.
That you need, my power, grace is sufficient.
Mm. That's why, even back to that whole fairy tale idea, is when he's saying, stop, you know, being terrified of this adversary that I have already defeated by the cross, and acting as if he can destroy you, and see it as a fairy tale. Because a fairy tale is make-believe, and the enemy is doing something make-believe. But if you believe it, it becomes real to you. And then you start acting like it's real. And that's when you get snared. So that's exactly what he wants us to do. Depend on him. And it isn't a spiritual warfare method. I mean, he gave me that so clearly the other day, that how to triumph in spiritual warfare, be one with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And he was telling me, not just one, because we're automatically one when we're born again. And then when we receive the baptism of Holy Spirit, we're filled with his power. He's not talking about that. That's automatic. That's already there. That has to be established in our hearts and minds. But he's talking about, be one with me in how you think. Be one with me in what you speak. Be one with me in what you believe. Be one with me in what you plan. Everything. Be one with me. So that you see it from my perspective. That's how he wants us to do it. And then we're undefeatable in being tricked by the schemes of the enemy. Because we're operating in that oneness with him. And we're living it out as a reality, not just going, oh, well, that's nice, I'm one with God, and one day I'll see his face. Or, well, I hope this horrible battle's over soon. No, he's going, you don't even have to worry about the battle. Look at what they do. They scatter to either side of us. They're worried about us actually getting a hold of who we really are. And that we're one with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, don't. If you can do anything to convince them they're not one with God, they're in trouble, they're condemned, you know, they always have to watch their P's and Q's and be careful because, you know, the law's after them. If we can convince them of that, and then convince them that Holy Spirit is a nutcase and they don't really even want to deal with him because he might be a seducing spirit like us, wow, we can win. And ultimately, they still don't win because we're in Christ, but they won in the sense that we are not living a life of victory. And that's what he wants to give us. That's what he died for. That's what he has given us. So that union and being one with the Spirit to triumph in spiritual warfare is, I think, it's a an area to really explore. Like, okay, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Because I'm already one with you, so how does it mean that my being one with you? So does that mean I'm just like you? So if I'm just like you, of course they're going to run. They're defeated before I go onto the battlefield. I see. And that's how we have to see. We have to see the way he sees.
We're partakers of the divine nature.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're in his image. And we've been restored. So we're not to do pre-cross Christianity. When there wasn't any Christianity before pre-cross. And that's how it's lived out in a lot of Christians' lives. Including our own. I've been there too. But I'm post-cross. There is only post-cross Christianity. There is no other Christianity. Because there was no Christ. There was only prophecy of him coming. And the hope. But there was no Christianity. And now we're in it and we act like we're before. And that's where the body, you know, the bride of Christ has to really be, again, woken up with the kiss of Holy Ghost. He's the one who kisses them awake. or kisses us awake. You know, we're one body. We're the same spirit.
I'm beginning to understand why Revelation 12 says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. I feel like that's even understanding the work of Christ on the cross.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Like just meditating on that.
Exactly. And that vision that he gave me of us in this battlefield where it's all kind of like, it's really a flat battlefield and there's really not much you can see, but there's a few trees over here, one side and the other, and that's where all these little minions are coming out and they're running. And they look charred. Charred, burnt. Okay? And they're running on either side in this bend. Like a, you know, they're not coming running straight on either side of us. It's a curve. They're running away, trying to skulk away. And they're burnt. They've been charred. Okay, so they obviously, you know, the fire of Holy Ghost has gotten to them. And that blood of the Lamb is the symbol of that flag that we're all holding with the red background and the huge white cross. And when Christians really believe that what he did on the cross is finished, it will be in our lives. But until then, we will live as if it hasn't happened yet.
Be it unto you according to your faith.
Mm. Yeah, we have to actually believe that the cross really is finished. And you know what? We don't have to effort at that and go, oh, Lord, I need to believe more. I got to have more faith. Oh, my goodness. No. We go, Holy Ghost, teach me what it means.
Yeah, just listen to him tell you about it.
The cross, what does it mean? And fill me up with that truth and have me walk in revelation of it in a real way so that when I walk in victory. Have it be so. You do it. You do it in me. I give you permission. You're my helper. I don't know how to get that revelation. I don't know how to live it out. We ask him. We don't struggle with, because this is where the church stops. They go, okay, well, I really got to believe this. Okay, I'm going to believe for it. Oh, I'm going to believe. Yep, yep, I should believe more. Okay, I'll read the Bible a bit more. Yeah, maybe I'll really believe it then. Okay, I'll say a lot of scriptures. Okay, okay, okay. I've said a lot of that. Okay, that should help. And that's going to build my faith. And, okay, well, oh, but I still, everything's still wrong. And, oh, but I still got to believe. I can't say that's wrong. Oh, no, 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 I can't do that. Okay. And there's this horrible, frenzied life of no peace whatsoever, trying to drum up, conjure up, stir up, whatever word we want to use, faith in him, rather than going to him who lives in us and having the faith that he's really there and saying, look, I don't know how to have faith in this. This is bigger than me. Help me. You're my helper. And then he will.
Yeah, I think it can come from a place of the efforting stops when, at least for me, when I realized that while we were still sinners, he came. When we showed no effort. It says, while, like some translation says, while we were weak, you know, like,
yep.
He didn't wait for us to be strong. He actually came because we were weak.
Yeah, that's
great.
So
he's not expecting us to get stronger.
Yeah, that's right. That's great. I mean, why would he abide in us if he thought we were supposed to be strong on our own? I mean, why would the living God live inside us to be our helper, comforter, teacher? If we didn't need the help, comfort, and teaching, it's pretty obvious. He doesn't just do things for the sake of doing them. So that's exactly right. And that's a really good point, is that when we didn't even care about him or know he was real, he put all the effort in already. So now that we know he's real, but we might struggle with some ideas, some understanding, revelation, whatever it is, it's through Holy Spirit that reveals. We can't do it of our own. Human wisdom is foolishness to him. We can't understand it. But he can reveal it to us so that we will understand it by his spirit through the supernatural. And then we can. I mean, that really was the open door for me when I became close to Holy Spirit as a person. Was that when I asked him, the first thing I asked directly from him in terms of an understanding was, teach me what it means that I'm crucified with Christ. I asked for that. Teach me the cross. What does it mean? And when he did, I fell in love with Holy Spirit. because the door was open, because the cross leads us to the Spirit of the living God in us. That's how he comes, to be in us. And then where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then we have liberty to really relate to him personally. Not just, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Have you given your life? You know, not like that. No, this is depth. Every moment of every day. Every moment of every day, abiding. Access to him, talking to him, experiencing his presence, sensing what he's telling us, having the impressions in our hearts, the pictures, whatever it is, however he wants to communicate. Even to tell us to just rest and shut up. Sometimes he tells me that. And that's okay, because that's Holy Spirit telling me, and I know, well, okay, if you're telling me, I really better do it, because you only have what's best interest. Yeah, it's only his best interest. He has our best interest at heart. So whatever he tells us is for our best. And so we all only need to attend to actually believing that he's not only there, but that he's reachable. And of course he's reachable because he's in us. And stop having this schizophrenic Christian experience of, okay, I know I'm saved and everything, but I never can hear from God. And wow, maybe one day I'll learn, or maybe when I meet him in heaven. That's not what he did. He left, seated at the right hand of the Father, and sent Holy Spirit to live with us, who is the same Spirit that everything is created from. So that's a pretty big Spirit to be on our side and be one with us. So that's why that illusion of the fairy tale, look at it like a fairy tale rather than the big bad wolf. Because we know what happens to the big bad wolf in the end. And we don't have to just wait for the end. That's what he's trying to tell us. Don't wait for the end of the story when you go home to heaven to have victory. You have it now. By being with me. By seeking what I can tell you, by asking me the questions, by letting me help you. You have it right now. You can have that. Incredible. I could just see it. It's such power that he's given us. And we sit on it and we act like it's an old dead cat. The power of God. And it's got nothing for us, and we're just going to have to muddle on through. When he's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah inside us. And we've got this, I could see it, it's like this beaten up old dead cat. I mean, that's how bad it is in the church. That you know, and they're sitting there as victims to everything the enemy shoves in their face. And they're like, oh, I wish I could wake this dead cat up. I wish God would help me. And that's how they think of him. I mean, the way the church runs around, we might as well think that God's the powerless one. Because that's how we treat him. And we've got thousands of books on the enemy and his power. And, well, just, you know, trust God because he's good and he's good all the time. We don't understand his ways. That's, you know, that's how a lot of the church just lives. I'll just put up with this. It's not as bad as so-and-so down the street. So it's okay.
You know what that actually makes? You know what that actually results in sometimes? Like, I feel like if you get to a place where you're like, okay, I'm going to accept anything and say that, well, God's, you know, we don't understand him. It might be him working it out for us. You actually become bitter towards God.
Absolutely.
Because you don't really believe he's really good anymore.
Absolutely.
You believe that sometimes he wants to make your kids sick. And sometimes he wants to keep you poor. So you become bitter and you have a, you have like this unclear lens in the way that you even see people. Because if you have that view of God, I mean, I wouldn't want someone like that prophesying to me. They have this view that sometimes God wants me sick.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And like, it taints your whole perspective. And we really need to be free from that. So Jesus, help us preach this with grace.
Yes.
Seasoned with salt. That
absolutely.
That it may drop in the spirit of all who hear.
Yeah, absolutely. It basically divides people against God, and you know what it does? It makes the cross of Christ of no effect. That's what it does. Because it uses people's experiences and lack of power and lack of understanding and says, this is how God is. So we're going to call him this God who's only powerful. He's either totally sovereign and he doesn't do nice things because he has a good reason. We don't understand the reason, but he's God. Or it says, well, he really is not involved anymore. Okay, it happened at the fall and we live in a fallen world and we're kind of stuck with it until we go home. And both of those are defeat. Are places of defeat, and they're not the truth. And they really are fairy tales, and they're not fairy tales you want to read.
Well,
those kind of beliefs. So shalom to my brothers and sisters.
Bye.
and we will talk.
Bye.
We will share the next time. Okay? And I'm going to say it in Swahili.
Okay.
Ubarikiwe.
Okay.
Ubarikiwe sana. Which means be very blessed.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. Shalom. Yeah. See
okay.
you.